The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success Program. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Goodman, Amana, and Daikin brands. Today, we're joined here with Eric McGrath. Eric, you're the CEO of Driven Leadership. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So this is kind of follow-up to one of our previous podcasts that we had, and I had a lot of fun with that. So thank you so much for being back.
Yeah, no, I had such a good time, I had to come back.
So we're continuing talking about leadership. That's your thing. That's what you guys do. And it's interesting, you've had the privilege and the opportunity to get out and be with a lot of HVAC contractors and made a lot of observations in terms of leadership and how that's deployed within the HVAC industry.
Yeah, you know, you and I were talking a little bit just about, I get the opportunity to go around and I see different dealers and get to work with your team as well and the teams within Daikin. And something that we've been noticing consistently within the dealers is that a lot of them don't have a whole lot of formal training or experience when it comes to leading teams or managing groups or working with. It seems like a lot of us, what we're doing is we're working from what we were taught from our parents for the most part, right? How to work with others, or maybe on a sports team, how to work with a team. And some of it crosses over, but a lot of it seems to get us in trouble when we're running a company, especially as it's growing.
Well, you know, it's the Peter principle, right? Mm. You continue to promote somebody, or somebody promotes themselves into being the owner of a company, and they may be a really, really good service tech. They may be a really, really good salesperson, or maybe they're a really, really good operator.
Yeah.
But, I mean, take a look at our school systems today. You're not getting a whole lot of leadership training there. Yeah. Maybe a select few get a little bit if they're maybe in student government, or right, if they're president of a one of the organizations and they have a teacher that kind of takes them under their wing and works with them. But for the most part, the school system doesn't teach a lot of leadership.
Yeah. It's, you know, we learn leadership gets into how we influence others. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the definition I love the most. And influencing people is something a lot of people kind of grow into organically. Our parents influence us, the school system, and what we're around there, our friends, our family who are around. And how do we, you know, if we're in sports, I was in a lot of sports growing up, and it's in some coaches may be very, say, authoritarian, which is more controlling, more dictatorial in what they do. They're telling people what to do. And we take that mindset and now we're in a business and we're running it and that's what we know. And so we come in and we're either handling things in that fashion that we've learned, or we're making it up and not exactly sure how to do it. You know, I remember I was growing up, so you're bringing up the school system, and I was in first grade, and I remember the teacher for the day gave us the ability for like an hour or something to be in charge. And I remember walking up and down the aisles with a ruler in my hand, kind of, you know, because I'm in charge. And I always think of that because I'm like, you know, a lot of us, when we think about being in charge, it becomes about being in control.
Yeah.
And while control is what we need in our business sometimes to produce the results we're after, it doesn't do much for culture. It doesn't do much for long-term engagement and people being excited to be in that work environment. And so then other leaders go to the other side. They go to this laissez-faire kind of, you know, do what you want, do how you want to do it without a whole lot of accountability. It's really about how we walk that line about bringing both. How do we show care, but also have accountability in what we're doing?
You know, one thing that's really stuck through me throughout all of the years, one of my mentors told me a long time ago, I have no idea where he got it from, but he said, Ben, you can manage a process, but you can't manage people.
That's well said.
Yeah. And so that, you know, just has really stuck with me as you think about it. Part of a leadership's role is to define the process that things need to happen in. But I also love what John Maxwell talks about. He talks about the stages of leadership. Yeah. And so, yeah, there is leadership by title. And that's not going to get you very far if that's all you are. Sometimes people have leadership because of what they've done in the past.
Right.
And so maybe they have achieved great results in their current role, and they get promoted because of it. And so that, you know, gives them some sort of a leadership role. Or maybe they continue to be in that same role, but people follow them because of the things that they're getting done.
Yeah.
And then you have leadership because of what you've done for me. And so, you know, there's those that do truly care about all of those that are around and help other people get to the next level. And so they're going to be naturally gone to as the leader. But what he talks about is this concept of personhood, which we don't have time to get into that today. But I do love, as you just think through, and you have to be honest with yourself, how am I being viewed as a leader in my organization?
Yeah. And, you know, everybody's watching.
Mm-hmm.
So it's if you're dealing with me as an employee, there's other employees watching how that situation handled, and they drive their own assumptions and what goes on. So everything as a leader, every single thing that we're doing is under a microscope.
Yeah.
And so, you know, coming on here, really observing over and over and over again, going into dealerships and seeing where people want to do well. You know, you take an installer, just as you said earlier, somebody that was an installer and they've grown, they've developed, and they're now running a company. But a lot of times they're really good with their hands. They're a doer. They're technical. Mm-hmm. And they don't know exactly or understand kind of some basic principles. How do I build trust? How do I create accountability in my organization that's functional, that doesn't feel controlling? And I always say, you know, when accountability in a culture is viewed as care, meaning you care enough to want to create a higher standard or want to create a higher bar, that's when we're starting to get someplace. And I have to say, I don't see that happen all that often, though.
Mm.
You know, it's more the opposite. It's like the accountability becomes harsh and abrasive or overbearing or over-controlling or micromanaging, or the care is demonstrated as letting accountability slide. It means high performance isn't met. And while, yeah, we all sing kumbaya on the weekends together, we're not really holding ourselves to a high standard in there.
So how does somebody that, you know, maybe they got some leadership examples from their parents, a coach, or another, you know, significant influencer in their life, but it wasn't enough, or maybe it wasn't the appropriate leadership that they picked up. Where does somebody go to get leadership skills?
Yeah, well, that's enter our company, right?
Yeah.
That's everything that we're talking about is what we founded Driven Leadership on. We started looking at what's going on in the marketplace. What are people really dealing with? And not just playing around with these kind of academic concepts, but get them into what do I do differently? What do I tangibly have to do to start shifting from where I am to where I want to be? And everybody's a little bit different. You know, you bring a unique set of leadership skills to the table that create the outcomes that they do here within Daikin. And if I were to step into that role, I would create something different because I have different leadership skills. So when we're talking about developing a person in leadership, we got to get into what is that human need? What does that person need? And what do they need in relation to their company, to the team? What are they looking to produce? But we have a number of courses, and I know we talked about those some on the last thing, on the last podcast that we got into, but our main focus is taking that leader, that person that's either in over their head or they're already an experienced leader, and helping them advance and kind of tweak and redefine who they are and have the clarity of purpose, the ability to build trust, and this thing we're talking about. How do I care for the people in my organization, but also have accountability to high performance?
You know, one of the programs we talked about was Bold the last time. And one of the big keys that I've seen that I think almost every successful leader has is they have to know themselves very, very well.
Yeah.
Before you can lead others, you have to be able to lead yourself well.
Sure.
And you have to know your why it matters. You have to know how you react under pressure and you know, how you're going to react when you've got other situations that come up, when you get put under stress. I mean, that's really, you know, the big thing. And I think that's the kind of the interesting thing about Bold, right?
Yeah.
You're able to, in a controlled, safe environment, give a little bit of stress and help people learn and discover themselves a little bit better.
Yeah. You know, Bold came about because we saw this space in the marketplace where there's a lot of great information. I mean, there's infinite information out there with the internet now, right? And Bold was about application. You know, it's like, how do I take all these different concepts and ideas and how I show up and my background and who I am, how I lead, and how do I tangibly make changes? That's what Bold is about. It's two days. You nailed it, right? It's about, do I know my purpose, my why, what's driving me for sure? But then also, how do I handle the tough stuff? You know, leadership, gosh, most of us can lead it really well. I think I said this last time. Most of us lead really well when everything's going great.
Sure.
Right? We can handle those moments. It's when it's not going great. How do we show up? How do we handle it when everything hits the fan and now we're under stress and pressure, we're feeling the anxiety, and our whole team's looking at us like going, how are we handling this, boss? What are we going to do to step into it? And it's not just what we do, it's how we do it. It's how we handle those moments that inspires the long-term engagement, the long-term results. And that gets past title, right? So title is, I'm in charge and have to make the decision. Really leading through something is, yeah, I've got the title, but all of this just happened and I handled it well. I stayed calm. I encouraged others and I supported them as they were taking on these big challenges. So yeah, Bold tackles those. We have our online programs that they do get in more of the academic, the hows and what we do there. We have in-person culture and, you know, where we work with an entire team, but all of them are designed around either, yes, the upper management and leadership. And then we have some programs that get deeper into an organization, but it's really about how do you handle the big moments?
So I think understanding yourself is a big component, but what are some of the other big skills that you're seeing that may be missing today?
Yeah. So whenever I'm asked that question, the first thing I go to, and it may be a common answer, but it goes to emotional intelligence. I grew up and the only way I understood intelligence was EQ, right? Or emotional quotient. It is how we measure analytical problem solving. And the reality is somewhere around 12, we don't grow anymore. We have a capacity for it within that. That's how, so I thought you're as smart as you get at a certain age, and that's kind of how it works. And later in my career, started discovering emotional intelligence, emotional quotient, and that's one that never stops growing. And it's how do we understand what's going on inside of us, what's going on inside of others, and how those two mix. And so when you're in a business, you think about the great salespeople. You want somebody that's incredible, and we send them to all these sales trainings. Yet if they don't understand the emotion of the situation and how to actually connect with the client differently, to really be there with the client and understand what they're experiencing, what they're feeling, and empathize and understand and self-manage the nerves and the fears and all those that are going on, well, it's underneath all the sales technique in the world is not going to get the sales to happen. Or if we're managing someone and, you know, we're having a tough situation and yet we lose it, we get in a bad spot or we lead poorly through those. So whenever I'm asked that question, I always go there because I think it's something we never get there on. And it's also something that we all need more of.
Well, and it's interesting you say that because I would say for a lot of people growing up probably in the 70s and the 80s, there was probably a really big push to suppress a lot of the emotion that was out there.
Yeah, I was part of one of those families as well. I'll use personal background here. So my father was a engineer architect, and it was
same with me.
You know, so it was very analytical, very knowledge based, also very hard worker. Mm-hmm. You know, you dig in, you do the work, type of a mentality, and you know, you didn't talk about emotion, you didn't. It was soft. It was, you know, in sports was the same way, right? You go out there, you grind, you put in the work and you do all that. And there's a value to that. I'm not
sure
knocking that. But when we're talking about leading people and we're all emotional people, you know, we have thoughts and feelings, and we're regulated by our emotion. I mean, the first part of our brain to dive into information is the emotional side of our brain.
Yeah.
And we don't have the skills because we were taught, especially as men, we were taught that's not where we go. And then we go to manage someone and we can't understand why we can't connect with them and we can't build trust and we can't really create long-term employees and we have high turnover. It's all connected to that.
Well, and I don't think it's just men. There's a lot of women that have been told in order to get ahead, you got to not be who you are.
Yeah, especially in this industry.
And so, I mean, with all of those things, I think that's interesting. I would love to, you know, in the future, explore just that emotional intelligence more with you.
Right.
But I do think that's something that everybody needs to look at and figure out, you know, programs like what you guys have built and what you have put together, understanding who I am, and then really beginning to understand how do I impact emotion and read emotion, react to emotion, and, you know, be aware of my own feelings and emotions. You know, one of the other things I've learned is, you know, a lot of people maybe think, okay, I only have two emotions. I have, you know, happy and anger, and those are the two that I have, but you've got a lot of other emotions that are available.
Yeah. I guess psychology says there's only five core emotions, but the reality is there's such a range on every single one of them.
Yeah.
I'd also say those that are not as aware of what they're feeling or what they're going through typically kind of live in one or two. It's like they're either angry or they're not, or they're sad or they're not. Right. And gosh, there's just so much more. There's so much more of a range and an ability when we start to understand and we start to work through them. But leadership is very much about what we're talking about right now, how we influence, how we address the things that are going, how we know ourselves, how we understand and read the people around us, and how do we take those, connect those dots to be able to move everything in the direction that we want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you coming out here and being on the show. We look forward to having you on future episodes as we continue to explore these topics and look at how we can help, you know, all of us, no matter what our role in an organization, we're all leaders.
Yeah.
And so how can we tap into that and help to lead people to unlock everybody's infinite potential?
Right on. Well, thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you so much, Eric.
Bye.
And for all of you that are out there, if you like this episode, please go ahead, hit that like button. And also make sure you hit the follow button so that you can be informed of all of the upcoming episodes that we have. Thank you so much.